And today is also the first day where we launch our new message series for the secondary elements of renewal. And we're going to look at a very important topic in the Christian faith, the important topic of prayer, and how we can experience spiritual renewal through prayer. And in the months of October and November, we're going to look at missions and community life. You see, all three factors play a crucial part in us experiencing renewal. And all these three factors, we have our own responsibilities. We need to have a renewed sense of dependent prayer. We need to be intentional in being outward mission focused. And we also need to be intentional in community building. When all these three factors come together, we're going to experience renewal. Now, last week, my friend Minister Phil came to speak to all of you on the importance of the gospel. Is Jesus enough? The big question, is Jesus enough? Now, I hope it was a really encouraging time for all of you to consider, especially for those of you who have not yet placed your faith in Christ. Is Jesus enough? Is his life, death, and resurrection enough to be saved? For those of you who already believe, the question is, are you being rooted and built up and established in the faith? If not, why not? I was thinking through his message this week. I was asking myself these hard questions. I really don't want to be a Sunday Christian. I really don't want to just come to church on a Sunday and act like a Christian. I want a Christianity that permeates all of my life in the way I handle my finances, my relationships, at school, at work. I want a Christianity that affects my life, that I can live radically for Jesus Christ. I don't want to detach my Christianity when I'm around my non-Christian friends or family. And I want to live in such a way that people see me. They not only see me and the way I live, but they see Jesus Christ, that I place my hope, trust, and riches in someone greater than myself. And so just quickly, I want to challenge all of you just to consider those questions. Are you being rooted? Are you being built up? Are you being established in the faith? If not, why not? And if you're struggling or doubting in your faith, you've got to take ownership. Ask someone for help. Ask God for help. Speak out. Talk to someone and ask God to revive your soul once again. Well, today I want to share an important message in a topic of renewal, which is through prayer. As most of us are entering busy seasons in our lives, whether it's college apps, starting a new school, wrapping up projects before Christmas, starting a new role at work, I want to encourage you this morning how through prayer we can experience renewal, rest, and refocus. So today I have a message titled Finding Clarity Through Prayer. Finding clarity through prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you to find clarity, to find answers, to find rest, and to refocus on what's most important. And so, Lord, as we come before you, speak to us powerfully this morning. Speak to us so that we know the important things in life, and that's your mission. Speak to us to slow down and to make space for you. So, Lord, I ask that you take away any distractions that we have, that we may come to know you better, so that we can serve you better. Lord, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, Ruth and I have been married for over 7 years. And in these 7 years, we've moved around 4 times. And each time we've moved, we've happened to move to smaller apartments. Now, every time we've moved, I've noticed that we're accumulating more and more stuff. Right? All of you have that experience. Each time I have to ask these questions when I look at my shelf or look at the storage. Will these items come in handy later on? Where do I recycle this? And the most common question we ask is, why did we buy this in the first place? Why do we even have this? And I've noticed the longer I live, the more I put my roots down in places that I'm moving to, I end up with more clutter in my life. Now, my clutter problem is not something that only affects me, but I think it has become something of the culture that we find ourselves in. And the era of fast fashion, every couple of months, new credit card incentives, latest tech and gadgets, many of us have simply too much stuff and nowhere to put it. There is an overload of clothing, gadgets, gifts, paperwork, unfinished projects that not only fill up the spaces that we're living in, but also our lives. You know, I remember when Netflix show Tidying Up with Marie Kondo came out in 2019. How many of you have heard of that show, right? It was such a huge hit all over the world. I remember my cousins talking to me about it, my parents talking to me about it. My mom, who doesn't even understand English, was like, Ben, you got to watch this. You know, the premise is basically Marie Kondo visits different American families in need of organizing and decluttering. And each family has an individual background and need. and which the show addresses. And she has these techniques in getting rid of these items to declutter. Now, I think this show was a huge hit because many people have this problem and anguish and helplessness of having all this clutter in their lives. Now, what was interesting is in the first few months of the show, in the release of January 2019, charity shops saw an increase of donations received, up 66%. Right? In Australia, it was up 28% in donations for the first 3 weeks when the show premiered. And these stats are not surprising at all because it's a common problem that we have as humans. Our lives are filled with clutter. But clutter, in my opinion, does not only come in piles of books, unfolded clothing, too many toys or overabundance of tools in the shed. Clutter can also be seen as any excess in life that weighs us down and distracts us from our God-given identity and purpose. See, if we examine our lives closely, we're constantly piling up one thing after another. There's always something to do. There's always someone to attend to. And before we know it, we're living a life full of clutter. Our school homework, our extracurricular activities, our side jobs, our college applications, our work projects, our work relationships to maintain, our ministry duties, our investments, our retirement, the list doesn't stop. Open up your iPad, open up your phone, open up your laptop, and you know what I'm saying. These lists are not inherently bad. They're all part of life, but what happens is that these things start to consume us, and instead of finding purpose and value in these things, it clutters our minds and our hearts, and it distracts and diverts our attention away from God, causing us to not find any rest, unable to prioritize what's most important in life, and to make the right choices. So the question is, how do we slow down? How do we slow down and declutter our minds and our hearts? How do we experience inner spiritual renewal? Where can we find clarity in the culture that we're part of? The answer, I believe, is through prayer. Prayer helps us experience rest, refocus our priorities, and renews us so that we're able to step out into our God-given identity and purpose. Now, before we go any further, let's take a quick step back and answer the question, what is prayer? What is prayer? Many have misunderstandings of prayer, maybe because of bad experiences. Some of you who grew up at church maybe heard a priest or a pastor pray, and you think it's very all this theological jargon or big words, so it's caused you to have a misunderstanding of prayer. Some of you probably stand there and think it's just meditation, thinking about all these random things and hope for the best outcome. What is prayer? Prayer is simply talking to God. Prayer is simply talking to God. It's having a relationship with Him, telling Him what's on our hearts and our minds. In the Old Testament, we see Bible figures like Abraham, Moses, David, all argue, plead, doubt, and shout to God. In the New Testament, through Christ Jesus, our advocate, we can also run to God the Father by telling Him our every request, supplication, thanksgiving. Prayer is simply communicating with God. It's an act that our souls long for. It's an act that our souls lean towards to reconnect with our Father. And so in the hustle and bustle of life, prayer is a way for us to slow down, declutter, and focus on what's most important. Now today, I want to specifically talk about the ministry of Jesus found in the Gospels and how the Son of God used prayer to find clarity and remind Himself of what was most important in the kingdom of God. As you read the Gospels in your Christian life, as you see the ministry of Jesus, you find that Jesus models for us the very kind of habits and rhythms of life we need in any age. Even God is in human flesh, He prioritized time alone with His Father through prayer. And it was during those times Jesus was able to find rest and refocus on the mission that God gave Him, to usher in the kingdom of God, to suffer and die for the sins of this world. Now, there's a story found in Matthew chapter 14. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Have your Bibles ready. In the ministry of Jesus, we're told that John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, was beheaded. Jesus wants to be alone. Right? If your cousin or family member got beheaded, I'm sure you probably want to be alone, right? He retires to a private place to grieve. But the crowds hear that he's there and they follow him. Jesus has compassion. He heals them and he heals the sick. Then he performs the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. But scripture tells us this in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 23. Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 23. I have it on the slides for your convenience. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. He went to the mountainside to pray, and later that night, he was there alone. We see Jesus leave the crowd after having a tough day in ministry, with work still be done, people trying to grab for his attention. What does Jesus do? He finds rest by going to the mountainside by himself to pray. He was there alone. He knows he needs to reconnect with the Father, to pour out his heart to him, to rest in the comfort of his arms. He doesn't run around to fix everything. He could have. He's God after all. He's divine, but also in his humanness, he needs to spend time alone with God to find rest. Not only did he find rest, he was able to focus on the mission that God gave him. He was preparing for that path of suffering and death. You see, often in our own lives, when the demands get too much for us, some of us deal with stress and anxiety in different ways, right? We long for rest. That's why vacation packages are such a big deal in our era. There's many people looking to find rest. I know people who go on long drives without a destination in mind. I know people who sit in front of Netflix and smash down a lot of ice cream. And for me personally, when it all gets too much, when I get anxious, when I get stressed, I have a way to deal with my stress as well and to find rest. I like to escape to theme parks. I like to go to theme parks, be a kid again. This start of the week, I took some time off, 1 or 2 days, and I went to Disneyland in LA. Now, a lot of stress recently, I don't know why, but I just went to play and eat everything on the menu. Now, I was hoping to find some sort of rest, but the interesting thing is the opposite happened. There was no rest. I was restless. My brain was constantly stimulated. I came back more tired and more exhausted. Here we see Jesus withdraw to a lonely place to rest and to pray. Can you imagine Jesus going to Disneyland to rest and to pray? As hard as it can be in our fast-paced society, especially in Silicon Valley where productivity and being fast-paced is seen as some sort of God, we need to be intentional in spending time in prayer, stopping and resting. On my way down to SoCal, I couldn't help but notice all the rest areas for truck drivers. Constant reminders to stop and rest. These places had like shower rooms, had washing machines, had restaurants, encouraging these drivers to just stop and rest before the long trip ahead. I think that's what we need in the Christian life, huh? Constant reminders to stop and to rest. In Mark chapter 1, 32 to 37, turn with me there. Mark chapter 1, 32 to 37. Mark chapter 1, verse 32 to 37. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Mark tells us, rather than sleeping in after a tough day in ministry, Mark notes that Jesus got up before the sunrise in order to pray. I'm sure that Jesus was exhausted, but he knew that his strength came from God the Father. His prayer time could not be compromised. And it's clear to us in the gospel that Jesus, in his ability to minister powerfully, came from a result of prayer. And these two are intimately connected, prayer and ministry. And if you have the opportunity, if you read Mark chapter 1, you start to see that there's a lot of activity happening in the life of Jesus. It says, Jesus proclaims, Jesus walks, Jesus teaches, Jesus gives orders, Jesus heals, Jesus drives out demons, Jesus prays. The disciples, though, they did not understand the need for prayer, because in verse 36 and 37, Simon and his companions, they're looking for Jesus, and they almost have this attitude as if, where are you? What are you doing in prayer? There's all these people that need your help. But here's something to consider. Could prayer be the key to everything Jesus does? Could prayer be the key to everything that Jesus does? The disciples, they do not understand the necessity to pray. In Mark chapter 9, we see a man bring his child to Jesus for healing, and they try to cast out the demons, and they fail miserably. And in Mark 9, 28 to 29, I've got it on the slides, the disciples ask Jesus, hey, why couldn't we cast out these demons? Why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus' response is, this kind can only come out by prayer. And implicit in his answer is that the disciples had not prayed. They had engaged in arguments and all sorts of techniques rather than engage in prayer with God. Why were they not effective? Well, there was little dependence on God. This picture is one of countless activity, but no effective ministry. You see, the busy Christian today can identify with these disciples. With all the clutter in our life, all the more it's harder to pray. The demand for action and all the tasks ahead of us frequently interrupts the need for prayer and study of the Word of God. Many of us want to spring into action, right? Want to sort it out using our own wits and our own ability rather than to pray. What's the result? Our flesh gets in the way of our decision making. Our minds get cluttered, and often it's an opportunity for the evil one to come into our lives and mess it up. I often think no wonder Christians today live powerless lives. We don't spend enough time in prayer. We let the evil one take control of our lives. You know, 2 weeks ago, there was something that happened. I emceed at my cousin's wedding. All right, one of my favorite cousins, I emceed at his wedding. I prepared a lot for that event. I had like 5 pages of notes. I had a lot of humor, jokes. You know, I had a new suit. You know, I was feeling pretty good, right? And overall, it was quite successful. I had a lot of feedback from family in Taiwan and in Australia who were watching online. Family members who normally don't give feedback were saying, Ben, man, you did such a great job. It was so funny. It was humorous. The event went so well. And I was feeling quite pleased about myself. I sort of had this kind of like a strut, you know, in my walk, like a peacock, you know, around the wedding. And then at one point during the outdoor ceremony where I was hosting it, one gentleman came up to me and was like, are you the cousin of the groom? And, you know, I was feeling quite, you know, quite happy and quite prideful because people were praising me after the ceremony. I said, yeah, that's me. That's me. And he's like, you're so bad. He says, you're so bad. You made so many mistakes today. You didn't mention all these people's names. You were not creative. And he really gave it to me. All right, he really gave it to me. He even took off his mask. You know when someone's angry, they take off their mask. Took off his mask, raised his voice, and made quite a scene at the wedding. I was in shock. And after this event, immediately I had this tug in my heart. Ben, go pray. Ben, go pray. Go and pray on how to handle this situation. And instead of obeying the tug in my heart to slow down and pray, I did the exact opposite. I started telling my family members. I started calling my parents in Australia. I did everything else instead of pray. I wanted to jump into action, correct him, fix him. In Chinese, it would be 修理他. I want to fix him, right? My heart became more and more wicked, filled with anger and hate and disappointment. My heart wanted to spring into action and take it into my own hands. My flesh started to get control of my mind and heart, and I could sense the enemy making territory in my life. But what should I have done? I should have sprung into prayer. Maybe what could have been better for me was to go into my car, find a quiet place at the church to just pray, to slow down and listen. And as I thought about this event, this is just a small example of all the things that happen in our own lives, right? When there's something that happens to us on a personal level, at school, at work, something that happened in ministry, something that our managers said to us, We tend to retreat from God and try to sort it out ourselves, using our own wits, our own abilities to try and solve the problem. But what we should do, and what God is inviting us to do, is to run to Him in prayer, to experience that rest, to help us refocus and to make the right decisions. You know, the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians in regards to his spiritual life in attaining Christ. He says, "This one thing I do. This one thing I do." Most of us would accurately write, "The 40 things I attempt to multitask." What if us Christians could stop and rest and focus in on the spiritual discipline of prayer? What if we could focus in on prayer? How would that impact our work? How would that impact our marriage? How would that impact our lives? I think it would bring a great dependency and renewed focus on what's most important. You know, Martin Luther, the German reformer, once wrote this. He says, "I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. When I first heard about this quote, I thought Martin Luther was crazy. I was like, that's not productivity. I tried it myself one time and I forced myself to spend time in prayer, even though it wasn't 3 hours. What I noticed throughout the day was everything flowed smoothly because of my time in prayer. Friends, if we desire renewal in our Christian lives, we need to start spending time in prayer. And when we pray, we experience that renewal that comes from God alone. You know, re is a prefix meaning back to its original place. Again, anew, once more. To charge again, to create anew, and to focus once more. You know, every so often, our gadgets, our phones, our tablets, our laptops begin running slow, right? Whether it's because of all the junk that we have stored, unused apps, old pictures, videos, it becomes overloaded with small bits of information stored throughout its drive, right? But to speed it up again, what do we need to do? Right, you guys, most of you in Silicon Valley, you know, right? You purge out the old files, get rid of the old photos that you don't have, restart the phone, restart the laptop. A couple weeks ago, Elder David, it was really funny, he was having issues with his phone. He was sitting at the back of the church after everyone's left, and I was there with him. And he was about to go preach at another church, and he lost all his notes, his sermon notes on his phone. His phone was breaking down, and he couldn't get to any apps. He was freaking out, right? And he was telling me of all these issues that were happening, all the while being stressed because he needs to grab his notes to teach Sunday school and to preach. And he had no idea what to do. All right, this Stanford graduate had no idea what to do. I just simply grabbed his phone. And I said, let me help you. I restarted his phone. Simple as that. I restarted his phone and all his notes came back. His phone was working again and he was happy. And as I thought about this, I thought, hey, it is with our prayer lives, isn't it? Sometimes too much junk, we just need to get rid of. And if we keep it there, it stops us from operating from the purposes of God. As we quiet our hearts before God to pray, sometimes we need to purge and clear out the junk in our hearts. Hey, that could look like finding a very quiet place in a park, finding a quiet place in a car, a quiet place in our house. We set aside the distractions and the demand in our lives and we narrow in our focus. God, what are you saying to me today? God, what do I need to do today? A mind focused on the Lord and committed to living for Him alone is a mind freed from the weights of distractions of this world. As spiritual beings, whether we're going through hard times or relatively easy seasons in life, we are perpetually in need of ongoing spiritual renewal. And this comes from intentionality with beginning the day with prayer, ending the day with prayer. Prayer is having an intimate relationship and connection with Him as a person. And in these personal moments that we have, we allow room for the Holy Spirit to transform us for the work ahead. And when we do this, this is how faith begins to rise again. Our hope is restored. We come before the Father and He graciously comes and meets us where we are at. Dear friends, as I wrap it up, in our fast-paced society that we're in Silicon Valley, our minds are constantly filled with clutter. We fail to prioritize. We fail to make the right choices. We take appropriate actions. How do we slow down? How do we declutter our minds and our hearts? The answer is prayer. Prayer helps us experience rest like Jesus. Prayer helps us refocus on what's most important like Jesus. And as we do this in obedience, we're made new once again, recharged and refreshed and renewed for the work ahead. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that prayer is a time where we can connect with you, to listen to you, and to obey the prompting in our hearts. Lord, help us to eliminate the distractions in the world that we have. It could be our phone. It could be our laptops. It could be our iPads. It could be that hobby. Whatever it is, help us to eliminate these distractions and to spend time in prayer. To learn from the ministry of Jesus, where he found solitude and rest through prayer. In the hustle and bustle of ministry, help us to find prayer. In the busyness of our work and our lives, in the new school season, help us to find rest and refocus through prayer. Lord, speak to us powerfully once again. Let us be still before your presence. Revive us, renew us, refresh us. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name.